Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Mike M's CCPO podcast. What is this thing? Well, I decided to put together a monthly podcast on crowdfunding, print on demand, and other type of comics that are outside of the LCS. Comics you kind of have to work for. A little extra harder for shipping. A little extra hard to go to out of your way to go to a Walmart, go to Kickstarter and hope that it gets funded, or go to Indiegogo in hopes that it gets funded, or print on demand like IndiePlanet.com, where you can get comics there for on demand. There may be others that I will seek out. But what this podcast is to focus and highlight on things that I find and want to mention about things that are coming up or things that I just recently read that I think are worthwhile. And I'll be doing more of that once I start. Like, now I'm going to start recording every Kickstarter that I do and why I'm doing it. And sort of writing it down and then collecting it for this podcast and then mentioning it on the show. I don't know how frequent this will be, but it also's for me personally, because what it'll help me do is read these things on a regular basis, as I have quite a few coming in per week. And it is a tougher comics hobby to get into because it is more expensive than what you'd buy at an LCS or a discounted service like DCBS. So it's for those people that are willing to explore and spend extra money. And you the cheapest you can really get some of these books is like $10, and they're just the size of a monthly comic. But you're doing it to support those creators that can't get into previews or have a hard time self-distributing. And I will be talking about self-distributing comics. And I will not exclude comics that are from like TKO, where you go print, you get, go directly to the source to get. I may be talking about past comics, like Future Comics, that printed outside of the distribution system and did their own distribution system. Things like that. That's what I'll be exploring on this podcast. And I think they're going to be very short. And what I wanted to talk about is these proved to be quite expensive for me personally, but it's my own fault. I wanted to talk about Allegiance Comics. And it's such a weird thing. Allegiance Comics is printing directly to Walmart. And they only have four books out now, but they're supposed to have out more books in the early parts of July, the number two issues. And I don't know how they'll succeed. I don't think they will. Why do I think they won't? Because the price tag is $5, which is cheaper than a Kickstarter, but it's not if you have to pay for shipping. So one way to get these books, and I missed the boat on it, is online Walmart. You can, if you're lucky enough to find them, they're under like some weird tag, like you have to search for like reader link and then the title of the book, and then you might find it, but you need that like reader link in it. And if you go to the Allegiance Comics site, you'll have links to how to get it online there too. I think what sold me is not anybody really talking about it. I guess I've seen a couple tweets about Red Rooster and how good it was. But more so, what drew me to it is that Butch Geist drew one of the books. And I absolutely adore his artwork. And it had some names that I had heard of before, like Brett Weiser and Butch Geiss and Kevin Grivox and Blake Northcutt And I wanted to sample these, and I missed the boat on the Walmart site, even though I think they've restocked them on these first issues. So I had to go through eBay to get them. Luckily, there was quite a few that were posting all four books in one shot. Most of them were charging $40 for four books, so that's almost like a Kickstarter. But there was a couple of make me an offers, and I made an offer, which is still more expensive than I thought. I went for 30, but not knowing that they were going to restock at Walmart at that time on the online site. They were out of stock when I finally got to it. I was being lazy because I was trying to get free shipping, and you need $50. And I was waiting for my wife to put stuff in the queue, but she never got around to it. And by the time that we thought about it again, it was already, they were all gone and out of stock. So the four books that were there were Nora's Saga, Red Rooster, The Futurists, and Bass Reeves. And I will say the quality of the cover stock is nice. The page stock is really nice. It's not like a gloss, but it's a thick matte. Because Walmart ships them, they don't give a fuck about collectors, or they just ship them. So you may have some damage. You're not going to get like a 9.8 unless you could go to the store and maybe find them. I did try a couple Walmarts. I have no fucking idea where to look. So what I did is I looked where they have the Giants and Collectible Comics. I looked in the entertainment section. I looked in the magazine section. I couldn't find them. So I said, I'm not gonna find them. I have to go online to get them. And I one of the things that I was really stoked about is I gave all of these books a 5 out of 5. And yes, I know I'm a fucking asshole for enjoying everything I must read, but the lowest I usually give a book is a 3 out of 5, and it's because I can dig in there and find something to like, whether it's an advertisement or some lettering or something. There's some joy in a panel or something. I'm like, wow, that was really neat. But as I get older, I find that all entertainment is pretty amazing. I'm even watching some shitty B films, and I know they're intended to be bad, but I look at them as incredible. Like, this was shot in 16 days for this amount of money. Like, I was watching Big Bad Mama with Angie Dickinson, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. I just enjoyed the hell out of it. And I don't usually like look at entertainment with this critical eye, and I'm kind of glad that I don't. I don't. I'm not a reviewer. I'm more of a want to experience something type of guy. Like, some people review and say this is what this thing is. I just like to absorb it and just escape. Like, if I could get away from, 2 hours of my time, or 15 minutes, or 5 minutes, and not think about the world around me, and just get consumed by what is in front of me, whatever that may be, then it's done its job. And that's kind of how I look at entertainment. But I'm gonna talk about Nora's Saga, Red Rooster, The Futurist, and Bass Reeves. I didn't even remember until Juan Haro on Facebook told me that Bass Reeves was in Watchmen, or mentioned in Watchmen. I forgot about it. Bass Reeves is an historical character. He was a U.S. Marshal, and you could go to Wikipedia and find out some information about him. But he had like 32 years of law enforcement. And it's pretty amazing. And this comic is probably not based on fact, maybe loosely. It's a fictional book, but it is something that's worth reading if you're into westerns, and if you want to experience an American crime fighter in the West that was black. And times were harder for them back then. So this is the comic for you. And in this comic, he starts off as a bounty hunter, and there's this judge and this preacher that can't keep a marshal from getting killed because the marshal's in charge of a territory, and yes, they can keep peace with maybe in their western town, but once they go out of it, they usually get killed. And the one judge knows he needs a badass, and he goes to seek out Bass Reeves and makes him an offer, and he's like, "Hey, I need you to come." And Bass Reeves is, like, "Hey, I'm trying to be a family man now." He's got a lot of kids. He's trying to teach his son what's right from wrong. His son is like so eager to get a gun and shoot people that he's trying to teach him that the gun is a tool, but not just mean to take life. And this story is by Kevin Grevox. The art, very nice. Eric Weathers. Oh no, sorry. Artist is David Williams. The letter is Eric Weathers. And it's just an incredibly put together comic book. And one of the things I like about it is when he finds the bad guys, he always sings this ballad. And in this, when he encounters like this one set of guys, he's almost like one of the crew. Like they're treating him around the campfire like he's one of the crew. And then he's like singing a ballad, and they just like look like, "Oh shit, this is Bass Reeves. What's gonna happen now?" It was really a fun read. I enjoyed the hell out of it, and I hope you check it out. For those that want to explore and have money to buy something at a $5 price tag and you can seek it out, I think it's well worth it. I thought it was very enjoyable. I gave it a 5 out of 5, but man, of the four, it was my least favorite, but it still was, I still loved it. Like I loved it. The one that I liked next, a little bit better, was the one I read first. It was The Futurists. And this one is by Patrick Stiles, and the art was Butch Geist. This is really why I went to get the comic book, and it looks amazing. Like I just look at Butch Geist's art, and I'm just amazed. And this sort of takes place in India, and what year is it? It's 1866, Calcutta, India. And these guys are going in a stagecoach to a weird spiritualist, a very spooky house. It's got like a woolly mammoth skull in the front, and some of the gateposts have skeleton heads on it. And they're like, "What are we doing there?" And they want to talk to the dead, and they don't know really who to talk to, and they have a lot of ideas on who to summon. And they actually do summon a spirit, and then a body shows up, and it's somebody that the spiritualist knows, and he's like a kid, and he's like, "You were my age. What the hell? How'd you get so young?" And it's a mystery about that, and a mystery about an artifact that they're finding, and it just looks absolutely incredible. Go see if you can find some of the pages on this. It's really, really beautiful. And I've always liked the idea of seances. Like they always freak my shit, and that's usually they always scared me, and they scared me since I was a kid because it was like, why are they doing this? And you're gonna see this kind of thing in other books like Daphne Byrne from DC Comics. If you go to Titan Comics, you'll see the Houdini. What is that book called? It was the story of a handcuffed Houdini or something like that. And Houdini was like anti-spiritualist, and that's where I first saw it as a kid, and it kind of freaked me out because there was a Houdini movie. And I remember it distinctively where they were sitting around the table, and I was like, man, this is creepy shit. That's what this book had in it, and it like caters to me. Like I like to be scared, and it sort of brings that factor in it. And then Butch Geist has a dark sort of real hyper realistic art style, in my opinion. And it looks amazing. Like when he was drawing Aquaman, it just boom. Or when he draws any other book, I just there was a giant size IDW book that I think was his latest work. It was like magazine size, and it was like a crime noir book, like a James Bondish type book. And I can't remember the title of it, but it was amazing. The next one I liked, these are almost tied for first for very different reasons. Very different reasons. But I'm gonna say that Nora Saga was the next one. It was the writers Brake Northcutt, but the creator is Patrick Stiles. The artist is Kelsey Shannon, and like I don't know who's responsible, like mostly for the plot, but the plot I thought it and the way the dialogue was written was amazing. Like I got so invested in these characters. It's a mother, a daughter, and a father. And they are, she be, recently became a curator of a museum. And the daughter's just so enthusiastic. The father's so enthusiastic. They're learning a lot from the museum. She takes them in there after hours. She's in the Viking ship, and the father's like filming a video of her. And she says, "You're gonna be the next social media craze." And there's just a lot of love in this family. And they're talking about the painting. The mother's infatuated with Loki, and she's telling her daughter how much Loki means to her, 'cause he's just mysterious and he can morph into different creatures, and he's the god of mischief, and sometimes he could be a wolf, sometimes he could be this. And they're driving out in bad weather, and they hit the animal, the creature. It doesn't even look like it's human. It looks like it's human, but half animal. And then it wakes up with the daughter, like waking up from a bad dream, and the father's all scruffy looking now, and he's like, "Are you having bad dreams about your mother?" and that kind of stuff. And then it establishes the female daughter so well. Like you feel her, and she has to she has to go from a small town to a big city, and she's just getting all the shit that like all the fellow student what do you call it, bullying, and just being the new student, how awful it is, and she's getting treated incorrectly. And the first thing she asks her dad is like, "Dad, they're making fun of the way I'm dressed and stuff, I'm dressed like a mechanic's daughter, and I just want to dress to fit in." And he goes, "But the weather outside is horrible. We don't want to go on this." And she goes, "Well, they're gonna cancel school tomorrow anyway because of all the snow and the swirl and all this craziness. Let's go to the mall." And they go to the mall, and she's like so happy that she got a dress, and she's like taking pictures with the flash on selfies in the car, and she's ecstatic. And the father's like, "What the hell, don't take pictures, like it's blinding me." And the next thing he sees is a deer, and then all hell breaks loose. Another accident, just like the first one, but this time the daughter wakes up in Viking land. And oh man, it was so good. I can't tell you how emotional this book was. It just had everything. The timing was like ta ta ta. The storyline, if you like Vikings and mythology and gods, you will dig this. I think you should seek this out. And then I got into Red Rooster, and I didn't know what this was. I knew it was a superhero book, but it already sold me on the first few pages. First, the creative team, Mitch Breitweiser, and he's the creator, and he does the art and story. Some of the writing is done by Mark Pellegrini, and the art is just beautiful. It looks very Butch Geisius like, and I've seen his art before in comics. I just can't like pinpoint it where it came from. I'm gonna try to. This is just one of those crazy calls that we get that from nobody that I, recognize. But Red Rooster, it opens up with a scene, and those that know me personally know I love dogs. Like, I think they're God's greatest gift. And if you don't believe in God, that's fine too. I'm not sure sometimes I do, but I think however they're created, they just provide something that no human can provide, and it's like this unconditional love. And it opens up with he's out in the wilderness and he's bearing his dog, and he just his words, like, when it all fell apart, you caught that last little piece of me. I'm gonna Before it could hit the ground with the rest of the wreckage, you helped me keep it together when no one else would. When no one else wanted to. And he's like, thank you. He like gets whoever wrote when he wrote this, he gets the dogs do something that no human can do, and it's just something like a simple gesture or something, and you could be like stressed out, and they just do something wonderful. They already sold me on those first few pages, and then later on, this book, it already had me too, because I was in the world of 1930 anyway, because I was watching Big Bad Mama with Angie Dickinson, William Shatner, and Tom Skerritt, and I watched Big Bad Mama 2, which had Angie Dickinson again, and the actor that was the in The Greatest American Hero. I can't think of his name. Not the guy with the curly hair that wore the suit, but the guy that worked with him. But anyway, those play that took place in the 30s, and one thing that was amazing about these films is I don't know where they got these cars from and the props and stuff, but they were awesome. They were awesome. All the cars and the motorcycles and stuff that they used. And for the budgets they had, I'm like, how did they get these cars, and how did they get the rights to destroy these cars? But this was in the 1930s, and he's like trying to get on a train to get somewhere, and he saves a kid from getting killed. And then it cuts to a scene later when he's the Red Rooster, and he's going after this guy like Iron Jaw on a motorcycle, and it's a crazy adventure scene. And then it gives some backstory about his team, the Order of Dawn, and they were a bunch of superheroes. But then it gives you like this little clip: are they really superheroes, or are these events staged by the press or by the sponsors because they like support a cola and stuff like that? And after you read it, you realize it could be both, but at heart, they're truly heroes. Like, they're really looking to do good, and they have done good, and they've imprisoned a lot of bad people. And there is a group that there is a guy, a mysterious being, and he is creepy as shit because he's bald and he has spiders all over him. And these aren't like spider tattoos or anything, they're huge spiders, and I hate spiders. But anyway, he sort of breaks these people that have been framed by the Red Rooster out of prison, and he's got a mission for him, and he's like, I want you to crush the Red Rooster. And this is all a flashback because the flash forward, his dog died and now his dog's alive. So I think it's going to say how he got to that point at the beginning of the story. But I don't, it, there's so much in here. There's so much that you need to experience. There's so much stuff. All these stories are just really great stories, and I highly recommend them. From so these ones you can get from Walmart, and it's a very strange agreement. I don't know how long they'll last, but I will go out of my way to seek them out, probably online. And in July comes, I will be looking at Walmart. I will be looking for when these next ones come, and I will be willing to spend a little extra for shipping or whatever I need to do to get them because I thought these stories were just spectacular. And then I'm going to switch subjects. I'm going to go from getting sentimental and almost crying about dogs to a story about pornography. This story is so weird. It's from Wanishi Press, and it's a Kickstarter. And I had experienced this story, I don't know if it was 2 years ago. And maybe read it a year ago. And I looked at it and I didn't like the art. Like, there was nothing in the art that sold me, but I bought it anyway. It looks like it's done on an iPad with a really thick stylus, like a really thick one, because the line is really thick. But after I read the first issue, I started to like the art style, I started to like the digital presentation. And what drew me in was this just weirdness, this strange story about a girl who I think she's Japanese, and she has a Japanese grandfather, and she's raised by him, and he's sort of a criminal. But anyway, she finds she's raised to be like a badass samurai, a badass fighter. But she meets this raccoon, kind of like Rocket Raccoon, on steroids that loves drugs. He loves to snort cocaine. He's very intelligent and smart. He's horny. And she learns stuff about the sex trade. She learns about masturbating and all this stuff, and that she could do it online and make lots of money. And that's where Volume 2 comes in. Volume 2. Comes in with the king of porn, and he's watching his sales go down the tank, and he is like, "Who is this Tracy Queen? Why is she taking money away? She's just doing it at home. How's this happening?" And it opens up really weird because she goes away from the raccoon and she says, "I'm bored. I'm tired of sexually satisfying all these men in front of the computer. I'm tired of all this stuff. I'm getting bored." And he's like, "Well, why don't you go into porn? This porn guy's been trying to hire you forever." And she's like, "I don't want to do that. I don't want to go work for the man. I'll do my own thing." So she says, "I'm gonna go into the warehouse and fight for a while." She's got like a fighting thing, so she could do her swords and kick some ass. And she finds a lot of guys in suits, and she's like, "You work for my grandfather, don't you?" And yeah, they do, and they have guns and everything. And then she hears help, and there's a female in the background, and she like gets her sword out. She cuts all these business suit dudes up. They have guns and stuff, but she slices and dices on them. And she goes to the women, and they barely speak English. They're from Russia or so. And it turns out her grandfather was in the sex trade business, and she's like, "I'm going to free you. You're going to be free." But what happens in this is one of the Russian girls, like, becomes obsessed with Tracy Queen and goes to work for the competitor, that porn guy that wants to get her. And she's like, "I need Tracy Queen." And it's going to set up a huge battle. It sounds like highly unusual, and it is. And it's very sexual and very Although there's, I'm trying to think if there's any nudity. It's mostly implied nudity. There is some nudity on the covers. Like, there's little breakages between stories. I don't know if this is like a web comic, and they put like a cover between every 10 pages. And there are some things, but most of the, well, I scratched that. There are some nude scenes. So, it's very adult. I wouldn't go there. Matter of fact, there is. I forgot there was a huge sex scene later on. But anyway, I'd highly recommend it if that's what you want to do. If you want to do some crazy action, sex stuff that's absolutely insane with a cocaine-driven raccoon, then this is Tracy Queen. This is Volume 2. It was on a Kickstarter. It does say content warning, violence, sexuality, animal cruelty. I did not see any animal cruelty other in there, other than he does have like a cybernetic origin story where it was a captured raccoon, and they were feeding him drugs and stuff to enhance his intelligence, and then he became so smart over time that the doctors be that were doing this experimentation on him became jealous, and there was that kind of animal cruelty, I guess you can say. And finally, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite Kickstarters that I always support. This guy, Marcel Dupree, he has a company called, I can never pronounce it, but evolutionpub.com. It's like evolution, but it's spelled with a Z, evolution, and then it has an E at the end. And they have a website, and he is on Twitter. It's evolutionpub.com. And I've discovered them, this company, about 2, 3 years ago. And ever since I get an email that they got a new book coming out, I get it. I didn't jump on this one right away. I must have missed it, but it's called Le Fay, and yes, that's right, it's Morgan Le Fay. It was created in story by Marcel Dupree and Joshua Metzger, with art by Miguel and Angel Reese. And it opens up with Morgan Le Fay's battle with Merlin and how she was defeated by Merlin eventually, and the downfall of King Arthur. And she's brought back out of her, like, he imprisoned her and took away most of her magic. And a bunch of strange witches, 100 years later, or actually 15 years later, they found her and they woke her up and they said, "You're gonna work for us." And that brings us to current time. She's still working off her years. I think she's got, like, I don't know, 10 years left to work with them. And she wakes up and she's like, "Man, I just slept with this Yahoo. What's going on?" There is nudity in this book. She has a leprechaun type co-worker that she works with, and they're put on a mission to go find out. They have these, there's like these mystical people that sell mystical animals to people, and there's like this type of monkey. They're domesticated shug monkeys. There's like spiritual creatures, and we get involved with Spring Hill Jack, and he breaks into this harmless family that sell these monkeys and slaughters both of them. And she's on this mystery to find out why. And it turns out they were protecting this beast. And this beast is like this god, but she doesn't know because this beast is like, well, this beast exists. There's actually an endangered, like, mystical beings farm that they go to when she's on the investigation. And they have like the three-headed dog, the three-headed, the what do they call it, the manticore, all these different mystical beings. And they're saying, don't you have one of these beings, that these little creatures? And she says, yeah, they're pretty harmless, it's over here. And she says, well, did you sell one recently? And why would it drive Springhill Jack to try to capture this creature and then sell it for large amounts of money? He actually does capture the creature and goes to sell it, but she says, you're not giving me enough now. So now the corporation has to deal with Springhill Jack because they want that creature and he doesn't want to give it to him because he wants more money. And they're still on this mystery, and the art is absolutely beautiful. You get to like this Morgan Le Fay character, and all the supporting cast is great. I really, really dug it. So that's Le Fay from Evolution Comics. And they have issue 1, 2, and 3 is being kickstarted now. I've supported it. I got in late. He's really good about giving you like a kickstarting package where you can get all the previous issues. So you could probably go to the Kickstarter, type LEFAY, look for the latest one, support number 3, and you could get a package of 1, 2, and 3 if you're interested. And while you're there, you might look for Babylon Working number 2, because I just kickstarted that, but this is about number 1. I didn't really know what this was going to be, but it turned out to be pretty fantastic sci-fi heist action. About these sexy women that like to steal, they like to plan heists. And they plan a heist around a ship where they're trying to smuggle energy from a black hole being smuggled in a, essentially a naked woman. It's like black hole energy. And she's like an innocent woman to begin with, because it's like these two scientists stole her and made her like a sacrifice, and this black hole energy went into her, and then they're trying to smuggle her on the ship, which is co coincidentally the ship that these characters are hijacking. And one of these characters is a she can morph into other creatures, so she morphs into a creature that's being transported on this ship, and then they all get on the ship, and then she could transform back into her human-looking self, and then they can take over the ship. And they start to, you know, that's what they do. They go to rob the ship blank. First, they turn off the power, and then they go to rob it blind, all these people. They don't know that this black hole energy is loose. And the scientists sort of release the Kraken at the end, which is this godlike being, and it looks pretty incredible. It's actually released from the woman that has the black hole energy in it, and it just comes out of her belly. It's crazy. And you don't really get to know the characters a lot, but they are cool. One looks like a female robot, like it doesn't even look human. And she's probably the strongest of the two. One of them has a turban. She's black and very sexy. The other is like sort of a dog-looking cat creature. Don't know. And then you have the main female who comes up with the plans and is she can morph her body into other creatures. But yeah, that's Babylon Working. And I also read Start Again. This one is on number 3. This one's from the UK. Why did I get attracted to this book? Is because of the artist. It is Neri Rearty. And it's created, written, and lettered by Jamie Mee. And that's his company that puts this out. In the first episode, I was like, wow, it introduces this cool female that has powers, and it gives her a really cool backstory. And then she sleeps with this other guy. And I was always perplexed is while they're having sex, the guy jumps out of a fucking high rise naked. And then that, like, all these journalists are like, superhero, blah, 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 is naked. Why, you know, what's going on? And then you're like finding the mystery. Well, it turns out there's a lot more, and you don't really find out until issue three, but it is kind of an interesting journey. The art is absolutely gorgeous. Crazy art find. He draws amazing. I don't know if it's a he or she. Neri could be both either. But it does have explicit content like the other two. More so in this than you would see in a Evolution type comic book. But it is beautiful art, and it's really an interesting story. It's interesting because I don't understand it. I don't fully understand it. But it's intriguing enough for me to continue supporting these. And I've supported three. No, this is my fourth, because one of them was Start Again short stories. So I supported volume one of that, and then I've supported Start Again one and two. And now I've supported three, and they've all shipped. The one thing I could say is sometimes this guy doesn't put "Do not bend" on the ship. So, but overall, they come in pretty good shape. But sometimes with these Kickstarters, some of them pay incredibly good attention to how they're shipped. And some of them ship them as cheap as they can in media mail. So don't expect a 9.8. And if you do expect a 9.8, I would IM them and say, I really would like to pay for a higher shipping. But like all the Evolution books, they come in a bag and board. One thing I will highly say about Marcel Dupuis is he knows how to get you addicted to comics, and sometimes he'll put extras in there. And he's done that for me, and I've really appreciated some of the extras that he's put in there. They've got me to buy more of his product. And we'll be talking about in future episodes Print on Demand from Indie Planet. And some of these Evolution comic books, they are available on Print on Demand. None of the ones that I've talked about yet are available, but some of his earlier ones are available. And I'm getting ready to do another Indie Planet purchase. And why? Because there's a new, I think his name is Christopher Mills, book. That's usually what drives me to Indie Planet. Let me just make sure I got his Twitter account right, because I'm going to give him a shout out, because his comic books. Yeah, it's Christopher Mills from Atomic Action Comics. Atomic Pulp is what I usually see, but he has Pound Atomic Action. He is the writer of these comic books. If you are a fan of Bronze Age 60-page giants, these are so up your alley. He's got a science fiction one, Space Crusaders. He's got one called Crumb the Barbarian that's out right now. That's why I'm gonna make a pit stop. He did one on Black Owl. It's called Sleuth Comics. These comic books are just amazing. One of them, the Space Crusaders comics have Rex Dexter of Mars and Space Hawk. Both are they're gorgeous to look at. Black Owl's more like a superhero, Golden Age type. What would you call it? a character that's in the public domain. Crom the Barbarian looks like something that will be from Conan. These are just comics that are put together with this Bronze Age love. At least I get this huge Bronze Age vibe, and I think you will adore them. So that's going to wrap up this episode of Mike's CCPO podcast, which stands for Comics Crowdfunded, Print on Demand, and Other. That's a shitty acronym, but it's mostly about finding comics that are outside your LCS. Yeah. And those that want to explore into other realms, join me on this monthly journey as I read more comics in this realm, and you'll see some of the stuff I'm supporting. I will always support Marcel Dupuis' books. I'm very happy with the last. I think I have at least almost 10 books of his, and I've been extremely happy. Start Again is one that I always, and Tracy Queen, I'll keep supporting. Those are few and far between, but when they do show up, I just find this humor hilarious, and there's something interesting about the story. I want to see where it goes. It's just so unique and weird that I can't speak highly enough about it. And all of those Walmart books from Allegiance, they are as good as the AWA books. The AWA books, artists, writers, and artisans, those you can get at the LCS, I would highly recommend those comics. They are all spectacular. That's how I feel about Allegiance. I feel they're amazing. Just a solid batch of books. One's superhero, one's like in fantasy world reality. One's a western. It's just such a great diverse set of comics. One's a spiritualist, past story in the 1800s. What more could you ask for, you know? I want to thank you for listening. You can reach me at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Facebook, if you search for Geek Brunch Podcast, that's where you'll find this guy. What else? My Twitter handle's the best way to get a hold of me. Please let me know what you think, and I'm going to offer this up to you. If you listen to this whole episode, I should have put it up front, but I'm going to mention it now. If you have a Kickstarter that you want to support, or you're a writer of a Kickstarter and you want to record a clip, I will gladly put it into this podcast. And I will put your clips into this podcast. I want to know what comic books outside of the LCS that you're able to get and enjoy, and things you want to spotlight. So if you're a creator or you're a supporter, feel free to send me a clip, an audio clip. Please keep it sort of clean. This is an explicit tag on it, so I don't mind if you cuss. I don't mind if you talk about nudity, but just be respectful to others. That's the most part. I don't want anybody putting anybody down, or any race, religion, or any of that kind of stuff politically. I just want it to be a podcast for promoting comic books that are in this realm. So, thank you for listening, and I will talk to you again soon. My email is mike@comicbooknoise.com, and if you're interested, that's a good way to get a hold of me, especially if you're interested in sending me content. So, thank you, and peace out. Enjoy your comics.